Our fourth case for this morning is Bates v. City of Chicago, number 12-1500. Whenever you're ready, Ms. Rummer.
Good morning. May it please the Court. The key to this case, which is a case of race discrimination, is the organization in which the plaintiff worked, a fire department charged with preserving life and property. Cortez Trotter demoted Ronald Bates, who is African-American, from the position of district chief in the Chicago Fire Department in May 2004. When he was demoted, Chief Bates was one of seven district chiefs in operations, the part of the Chicago Fire Department that accounts for four-fifths of the department's budget and resources and is charged with the essential work of the fire department.
So why are the district chiefs the right group to look at and not the exempt ranks? Because as I understand it, in the same order that demoted Mr. Bates, Trotter demoted some other African-American employees. He promoted more than he demoted. So some went up, some went down, some whites got demoted, or, you know, not kept on. He was just shuffling around the management team.
Well, actually, the demotion of a district chief in operations was a very rare occurrence. Evidence in the record showed that in the previous 30 years, it just did not happen.
But why is that pertinent? If Trotter has the same discretion over the exempt ranks, and we all agree that these are exempt positions.
Yes.
Why isn't the pertinent pool to look at to see if there is discrimination all of those people? And I just am not clear at all as to why the district chiefs have to be carved out of the exempt people and looked at separately.
Actually, Your Honor, they're not being carved out.
You are carving them out, because otherwise you don't have the statistics that show that Bates uniquely is disadvantaged.
Well, there are two reasons. Number one, the district chiefs in operations are the most comparable to Bates. And if you look at Cortez Trotter's managerial goals when he came in and his stated reasons or the rationale for his appointments, he said that his goals were to protect the people of the city of Chicago and to protect the people of the city of Chicago and also to restore the trust and confidence of the departments.
How is it that that's the most comparable group? Give me the factors that make it comparable, as opposed to this group that Judge Wood just mentioned, the exempt rank employees.
They had the same supervisors who were the deputy fire commissioner for operations and the assistant deputy fire commissioner for operations. They had the same responsibilities in that they were responsible for overseeing one of the seven geographical districts within the city where firefighting actually took place.
Is this District 6? Something about District 6 mentioned?
Chief Bates was the chief of District 6.
Is there something special about 6 that sets it apart from the others?
Well, in terms of Chief Bates' performance, there was something special. I mean, his was the best-run district in the city, according to evidence in the record, and that's undisputed. But in terms of, was the 6th District different organizationally from, for example, the 4th District? No, Your Honor. Does that answer your question?
Well, yeah, I don't know the geography at all, so I don't know what one location is tougher than another. I don't know, for instance, where they're fighting that big fire today, for example. I don't know where anything is.
I think that was Bridgeport.
Okay, I don't know where that is.
So the district chiefs are a subset of the exempt rank employees, right?
Yes.
Okay, so who else is in that larger group of exempt rank employees who are not district chiefs?
Really, it's everyone above the rank of battalion chief, because battalion chief is is a position that is filled through an examination through the career service
and so about
system.
How many people would that have been when these decisions were made?
The entire exempt rank?
Right.
I don't know that, Your Honor.
Our pool of comparability, we don't know. How many district chiefs were there?
There were some district chiefs. I can't answer that. There were seven district chiefs in operations. Operations used to be known as fire suppression and rescue. There were other individuals, exempt rank people, who had the rank of district chief, but they had no fire response or fire suppression and rescue responsibilities.
But I want to turn you back to page 27 of the city's brief, where they summarize, they say the record demonstrates that Trotter's reorganization sometimes benefited African Americans and sometimes did not. And they cite our case and say, the record is just showing only that there's randomness with respect to race. And I would add the record here shows a highly subjective methodology for choosing who's going to be in the exempt ranks, but that's not in and of itself a violation of Title VII or anything else, all the rest of the associated statutes involved here.
Okay, I think that's two questions.
As you wish.
All right. Starting with the first question, which I believe was...
Again, the fact that, three African Americans are demoted, five are promoted, then others are promoted. There are lateral moves of both races. It's just hard to find a racial pattern here, and I get worried about getting carried away with, say, the McDonnell-Douglas factors when, at the end of the day, could a rational jury find that there was racial animus in what happened to Mr. Bates?
Yes, we believe so, because the shuffling, as we pointed out, we supplied evidence in the record that it was part of a pattern of steering African Americans away from the higher ranks in fire suppression and rescue.
More in the higher ranks after Trotter was finished than before?
Not necessarily. That's a little confusing, because... the higher ranks were, some of those higher ranks were outside fire suppression and rescue. For example, and that's set forth in the briefs, for example, Les Noy, who was the other African-American district chief at the time that Ronald Bates was a district chief, I believe they were both promoted in January of 2000 by former Commissioner Joyce. Les Noy was promoted during that round of promotions where Chief Bates was demoted, but 9 months later he was moved totally out of fire suppression and rescue. And he was replaced. The pattern is set forth in detail in the record.
Are you still challenging the trial court's decision to dismiss the individual non-Trotter defendants?
Yes, Your Honor.
And give me in a thumbnail sketch sense why.
We believe they were liable under Section 1983 because they knew that the action they were taking, in other words...
The action that Trotter was taking?
Yes.
They didn't take any action.
Well, number one, Trotter took action. That's
undisputed. Yeah, but they didn't take action, right?
Pardon?
They didn't take action. So they knew about it? They had guilty knowledge?
There's evidence in the record, not not necessarily guilty knowledge. There's evidence in the record that they did influence the decision.
And so tell me what that was.
The evidence in the record is that Cortez Trotter had a retreat shortly after. Cortez Trotter had a retreat after he had made these rounds of changes, to which he invited his management team. Chief Bates, who had been demoted to deputy district chief and was still on the management team, was present at that retreat, and Cortez Trotter was talking about recommendations that he had gotten with respect to specific appointments. And also James Joyce had come forward to Bates and said, you know, do you have your resume? Trotter wants it, and so forth. And there was other evidence in the record of conversations in which it strongly suggested that they had talked. These appointments were made within 3 or 4 weeks after Trotter was appointed fire commissioner in the wake of the scandals which are set out in the briefs, the scandals which had forced Commissioner Joyce to resign.
I
see the red light is on.
You know, you're all right. I wanted to ask you a question, if I could, because was this Russell or Nick Russell the one who replaced Bates?
As chief of the 6th District, yes, that's true.
And my question is, because I know they put this in the red brief, it said one of the promotions was a Russell, who was African-American and for 10 years was president of the AAFL, which I understand is the African American Firefighters League. Was Bates a member of that?
No, Your Honor.
And I'm just wondering, I know this is subjective, but because it seemed that Trotter was emphasizing how about enthusiasm and all kinds of buzzwords, but was there some effort to bring people from that membership in that organization in under Trotter, and Bates wasn't part of that?
There's no evidence in the record. At the time that Nicholas Russell was president of the AAFL, he was still in a non-exempt rank position.
I know, but I'm just looking at...
And therefore he could be.
Well, reasons why someone would want to put someone into an exempt area, somebody who agrees with them and has a common goal in certain things. And that's the kind of people you want around you in the exempt area. I'm just wondering, if that's not an issue, then I'm just curious, because they put it in their brief. That's why I wondered.
There's no evidence in the record that it is.
But he is not a member.
Ron Bates? No, he was in an exempt position.
No, as far as the AAFL, he was not a member of that.
Exactly. He couldn't be.
Why?
Because he was in an exempt position.
You can't be. No, I'm talking
this
about...
This was a union for people in the non-exempt ranks.
All right. I didn't know that. Is that what that is?
Yes, Your Honor.
A union. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Do I have any time left for rebuttal?
I will give you a minute, even though your time ran out. Because
thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Masters.
May it please the Court. Ronald Bates was demoted from his at-will position as district chief as part of the many management changes that Cortez Trotter put in place when he took over as fire department commissioner in May 2004, it's undisputed that commissioners can choose their own team, and there's no evidence that Trotter's choice of Bates was at all racially motivated.
What was his reason?
He
wound up having several reasons, which is one of the issues that pretext has been.
His reason was his gut and his gut feeling that that Mr. Bates was not going to be a good fit for his management team. The parties agree that the two of them had at least 3 different interactions. It is undisputed in this case that Mr. Trotter drew conclusions for sure from those interactions, and his conclusions were that he did not believe Mr. Bates would fit his management style.
So how many people is this whole pool of exempt individuals in the fire department?
Unfortunately, Your Honor, the record doesn't reflect the total number of positions at issue in the exempt.
Talking like 30 or 50 or I'm just trying to get some sense of how far this goes, because if it's a great big group, I would think that would push one in favor of Ms. Rummer's position, that you really should focus more on the particular kind of slot in the organization that was involved. If it's a very small group, maybe not so much. But
well, let me make 2 points. One is, we know just from the order, that first initial order, that Trotter made 32 changes at one time.
32, okay.
When you add up those numbers. The second point I would make is that he's entitled to put his team in place, and that is fundamentally what this case is about. He comes in, he can pick his team, he can pick his team on any factors, as long as the factor is not, of course, an impermissible one. And the plaintiffs have the burden of coming up with some evidence that that his choice was impermissible. And when we look at all of the evidence in this case, they just don't meet that standard. The most they have is some speculation that basically amounts to Mr. Bates saying, I was qualified, I shouldn't have been demoted. Well, it's his assessment that he was qualified based on his own view of what somebody taking over the fire department should be looking for in terms of qualities and qualifications of somebody to put in his rank. But that doesn't defeat Mr. Trotter's argument that Mr. Trotter is allowed to put in place his team. And that's basically what this is about. He puts in place his team, and Mr. Bates can point to nothing in the record that shows race had any role at all in this decision. In fact, when we look at how many, we look at the end of the day, there are more African Americans in the rank of district chief than when Mr. Trotter took office. He, in his first promotion order, puts, there were two when he takes over in 2004, that first promotion order. There end up being three. By the time he leaves, there are four. Just that district chief rank of geographic districts. And remember, there's also other people with the title of district chief. That ends up being majority African American. Who does he replace Mr. Bates with? He replaces him with the person who for 10 years headed the advocacy group for African American firefighters.
Is that a union or an advocacy group?
Council referred to it as a union. My understanding is it's not a union. It's just an organization for African American firefighters. But
is it understood that people in the exempt ranks should keep their distance from it?
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor. I don't believe there's any evidence in the record either way as to that.
Well, the only reason I look at that question, because that may be when you say you want people around him who share his views about what you do with the firefighters, that seemed to be a difference. Now, do you know anything about the group? You put it in your brief. One of the promotions was Russell, who is African American and for 10 years was president of the AAFL. So that seems to be a credential for 10 years, and maybe it is. Maybe there's something that they're an advocacy group and they really look out for each other, and a lot of other reasons why he would want those kind of people surrounding him, and Bates wasn't a member. Now, I don't know whether that's even a factor.
Well, what Chief Trotter...
You put it in here for a reason, I guess.
Sure, and Chief Trotter testifies that he appeared with Mr. Russell on the television show Chicago Tonight, and that on that television show, one of the things that was discussed was the role of the AAFL, and that Mr. Trotter was impressed with Mr. Russell's performance on the television show. To that extent, it is relevant to Mr. Trotter's subjective belief and his subjective faith in Mr. Russell. The other reason it's relevant is because we have a case that is about race discrimination, and we have a head of a department being accused of being discriminatory, and we, in terms of evaluating the evidence, find it just, I guess the word is sort of incredibly speculative to think that someone who holds racial animus is going to promote the person in charge of, who has headed an organization that for 10 years has advocated for African American firefighters. I mean, there's just no reason to think that there's race involved in that.
I'm just making that for a distinction, which may be a very valid distinction for what his purposes are in making that appointment. And it's all, now, your opponent said that if you're in exempt, you can't be a member of AAFL. Is that right?
Well, Well, Your Honor, that's not in the record either way.
Okay, and it is not a union. It's just an association of people who have like mind of some kind.
Who are at, right? Who and there's testimony from Mr. Russell. I believe we have the citation in our brief where he describes what he did for the AAFL.
Are battalion chiefs in below the exempt rank?
Yes, that is the highest non-exempt
and
rank.
Then the next step up is the chief.
Deputy district chief. So it's deputy district chief, okay. assistant deputy chief, first commissioner. Or first deputy commissioner and then the commissioner.
And what was Bates demoted to?
He was demoted to deputy district chief.
Well, that's still an exempt group then.
That is still an exempt rank. That's correct.
Okay.
May I ask you some procedural questions about the district court's decision of granting summary judgment? Part of the ruling was the dismissal of the individual defendants under 1981 and 1983. Was there a finding that that was because they were entitled to qualified immunity?
Sure. Let me make a couple of points.
Talk to me about how procedurally the district court reached these decisions and why no trial was required on some of them, why they could be resolved on summary judgment.
Procedurally, the other defendants were let out of the case on a motion to dismiss. They were done. That happened based upon qualified immunity. And the reason qualified immunity was the ruling was because the court held that there was no case at the time these promotions took place, these employment decisions took place, that said individuals who weren't making the decision but had an impact on the decision could be held liable. Basically, that there was no cat's paw yet for Section 1981 and 1983 on the people doing the influence. Now, as we point out in our brief,
that's wrong, actually, isn't it? There's a 1990 decision from this court saying that an individual might be liable for influencing a decision maker to take a discriminatory decision.
Well, let me make a few other points about this, though, that go to the merits and I believe address Your Honor's concern on that. And they are twofold. One, The appellant in the opening brief waived arguments on Section 1981 and 1983 by not addressing the criteria used by the district court. But the second, and I think more really dispositive point at this point in the proceedings, is multiple times in the proceedings below, the appellant took the position that this was not a cat's paw case. The appellant took the position and litigated it and then stated outright, when we brought up, is this cat's paw in our pleadings? No, it is not. Having proceeded on the theory that Trotter is solely responsible for the decision here, she cannot come out now on appeal and say, no, actually, it really was cat's paw. The district court, even when only the Title VII claim was left in the case, specifically stated in the ruling on the motion to dismiss, you could still pursue cat's paw. And the plaintiff didn't do it. So we believe those claims are really out of the case. They're out of the case on waiver, and they are out even if not on waiver based upon the merits. If the panel has no other questions, we would ask that the judgment of the district court be affirmed.
All right. Thank you. And as I said, your time ran out, but I will give you one more minute for last thoughts, Ms. Rummer.
Did you waive cat's paw?
I'm sorry. This is not a cat's paw case.
So
Trotter was a willing participant in these decisions to demote Bates as part of the plan of as part of.
So we have to determine whether there was enough evidence to warrant impaneling a jury or if summary judgment was appropriate only with respect to Mr. Trotter. Is that right?
Your Honor, we believe there is evidence in the record that the others were involved.
But I'm trying to tee up the issue here. So are you asking this court just to review Mr. Trotter's actions and decision-making, and we can put aside these other employees?
No, we're asking the court to review the actions of all of the defendants, Your Honor, but not on a cat's paw theory.
What is your theory, then?
The theory is that they were actively involved and that Trotter, who couldn't give any reasons for his decisions, lied about whether he ever even observed Ron Bates, made these decisions, and he can't explain them. He can't say why he demoted Ron Bates. He just knew he needed to, and that was because of the involvement of the other defendants, and there's evidence in the record to that effect, Your Honor. I just quickly would like to say... the court has talked about some of the reasons that were given for Nick Russell. There's evidence, or there's argument in the brief about some of the other, in the briefs about some of the other decisions with respect to the district chiefs and operations and why Trotter made them. He's never given Chief Bates any reason or any examples of where his conduct was deficient, which is what Judge Zagel found when he reversed the grant of summary judgment the first time. Two more years went by, there was more discovery, and no examples were ever forthcoming. The other thing is Trotter lied. He said he wasn't a fit for my management team, kept him on his management team. Said he observed him at frequent command staff, which are district chief meetings, and that was proved to be a lie, and that was never fixed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under